Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning. What a blessing it has already been just being here in church. Thank the Lord for the opportunity we had this morning to assemble ourselves together. If you have your Bibles with you, if you look with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 62. The book of Psalms, chapter 62. This was God's children's songbook, if you will, the hymn book. And through these, we find the principles of God and the truths of God revealed. And they were to sing those, to always keep those truths on their hearts and on their minds. And I'm thankful to God that we have the book of Psalms. It is a comforting book to read and to study and to go through. And I believe Psalms chapter 62, God has a message for us this morning through this psalm. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read chapter 62, just going to read the first 8 verses, verse 1 down to verse 8. The Bible says, "Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God. For my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you, we thank you that you are our refuge. We thank you, God, that you have revealed yourself to us so that we might know you and your will for our lives. I thank you, God, that you've allowed us, given us opportunity to assemble ourselves together here today. And Lord God, we're so thankful because of your promises, we can't expect your presence in this place today. Thank you for that. Lord, you know exactly what's taking place in each and every one of our lives. You know what kind of spiritual food we have need of. And I pray, God, that for each one that would look to you, that they would be given that help that they need. Pray that you would empower me once again to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. The psalmist, and this is attributed to David, but the psalmist presents some great thoughts concerning his relationship with God in these few verses that we just read. Verse 1 and 2, he says, "My soul waiteth upon God. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense." And I love those thoughts. These are thoughts that David had. These are thoughts that Israel would be singing. And these are thoughts that we need to have on our minds as well as born-again believers. And then he makes a great statement in verse 5. He says, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." And then he says, "For my expectation is from him." Can I tell you that what God has revealed is what we can expect? What God has revealed, not only past, present, but future. We know that what He has revealed concerning the past, it already has come to pass. And what God has revealed about the present, we can expect it to happen. What God has revealed about the future and Sunday nights. And if you come back tonight, we're in the book of Revelation. God's revealed to us everything that we have, need to know, and can understand about eternity future. And we're dealing in right now, and with the 7-year tribulation period, we can expect that to take place. We can expect everything that God has revealed in the book of Revelation concerning the rapture of the church, concerning that tribulation, to happen, to come to pass. What God has revealed is what we can expect. As a psalmist was looking ahead concerning what he might have to face in his own life, these were his thoughts. And not only were they his thoughts, but they were inspired thoughts that God had recorded for you and I to receive. As we look ahead, we just began this new year, 2014. Unreal. I think we're living in the year of 2014. But as we look ahead in this year and the years to come, what are expectations? We can expect... what we can expect, and I'm going to preach a message on that, what we can expect in 2014, if you will, what God has revealed. What God has revealed, mark it down, you can expect it. It will come to pass. One of the first things that we know that all of us will have to deal with as we are currently dealing with it, and that is nature. We can expect nature to continue to evolve as God created it to evolve. Now listen to me. Nature has not been around for billions and billions of years. God created it. That which is natural, God created. He created it with age. Man's mentality, if we were have to explain how we come to where we're at in 2014... how this earth came to pass where it's at, how this body, this human body has come to be what it is today, then the only way that we can humanly present this without believing God created is to give this notion of millions and billions of years. But if you have any common sense, if you just really look at what God has given to us with a brain and use it concerning millions and billions of years, no matter what, we could not have evolved to where we're at today. Especially humanity. But man does not want to believe in a creator God for the most part. He does not want to go back to the simple thought that God has given to us as we look in the book of Genesis, and we find that God created. And God had man in mind, and he created everything for man. He created it with age because he created man with age. He created man to reproduce. It didn't evolve into that. God created that. But as God created that and he created the heavens and the earth, he created the natural things to evolve. There's no doubt about that. The earth today has evolved as God would have it to evolve. Because life evolves. If you look at your life, you have evolved from a baby. Whatever your age is, can I tell you, every year we change. And if you will, we evolve into what we will be next year. This earth is different today as far as we look. There's different trees, there's different land formations, there's different things. The earth, natural things will evolve. They have evolved over the history of the Bible. There's no doubt about that. We know that they have evolved, but they evolved from what God created them. God established them, first of all, and he established them, according to Genesis in chapter 1, with humanity in mind. And God gives us an account of creation for a purpose. God has a purpose for everything that he has revealed. And we have to accept what God has revealed to us as fact. Everything was created with man in mind. So, what can we expect in 2014. As long as God leaves man on this earth, nature will continue to do what he created it to do. Stop worrying about the sun fizzling out. Stop worrying about whether or not the sun is going to come up in the morning. Listen to me. God put it in place. It's going to continue to rotate on its axis. We're going to continue to have day, and we're going to continue to have night. We're going to continue to have the four seasons. The moon is going to stay where it's at. Why? Because God put it there. God designed it. So as long as he leaves man on the earth, and he will, we know that, for at least another 1,007 years. Because we can expect what God has said would take place. We know that God says that after the rapture of the church, which could take place any moment, any time, there's going to be a 7-year tribulation. After the 7-year tribulation, now things are going to start changing, and God's going to judge this earth, and the world is going to develop into things that God is going to judge the world with. But after the 7 years, there's going to be a 1,000-year millennial reign before God will destroy the earth. The earth will be destroyed. We can be guaranteed that today we have at least another 1,007 years of the sun, of the earth rotating, of having day and night. Expect that this next year. Don't give it any more thought. Don't worry any more about what if the sun is going to continue to shine. You might not see it, but it's going to shine. In Matthew chapter 5, I want you to see this, what Jesus said. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45. Now, I'm for conservation. I am. I really believe that we ought to take care of what God's given to us, being good stewards of the earth. But let's not go to the extreme and put more emphasis on that than human life. Stop putting so much emphasis on animals and start putting more emphasis on what God emphasized, human life. Everything else was created for humanity. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, Jesus says this, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun. S-U-N, the sun that we see, it's his. He maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. So no matter how evil the earth is going to get, and we're going to see it's going to get worse and worse, but the sun is still going to shine. Because God has already predetermined that as long as mankind is on the earth, that nature will continue to evolve as he has planned and purposed it to evolve. It's going to age, if you will. But he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God does that. God has established that through nature. That which is as natural is what God has established, and we can pretty much count on all of us here are going to age 1 year next year. I'm going to evolve in being 48 to being 49. Amen. Some will evolve into losing more hair. Some are going to change, and whatever that natural process is in your physical body, it's going to change. What we're going to deal with in nature, we're going to have to deal with. We will continue to have winter. So get used to it. We will continue to have natural disasters because nature will bring in natural disasters. It's a process of evolving. It's a process of what God has established nature to do. There's going to be tornadoes. There's going to be tsunamis. There's going to be blizzards. There's going to be hurricanes. Now, hopefully there's no hurricanes in Indiana. I don't think that we're going to evolve into that. Amen? Indiana, tornadoes, yes. That's something that we have. Nature reveals this part of the world is going to experience some tornadoes. And we're going to experience, as we have this year, some blizzards. Amen? Some record snowfalls. And we're going to experience some record heat. And we're going to experience some record colds. Why? Because that's evolving. Expect that. Certain areas of the world, if you're going to live there, you better expect. If you're going to live in Florida, and praise the Lord, I'm for some of our senior saints that are able to escape the winter to go to a warm safe haven in Florida, if you will. But while you're there, expect some things that's going to be according to nature in Florida. And you're going to expect, if you're going to live in Florida, you're going to expect some hurricanes from time to time. You're going to expect certain things. You're going to expect heat and humidity. What I'm saying here is my expectations are from God, and so what God tells me is going to take place, I have to prepare for that and expect it to take place. Nature will continue to evolve as God created it to evolve. And as it evolves, you're going to experience natural aging. Prepare for it. We can also expect the world to continue to get worse as man distances himself from God. I wish it weren't true. But God says you can expect it. And we'll not have to turn there, but in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he reveals the church age, which we're living in right now. And the very end of the church age, we find that the church is going to be that Laodicean church age. And you can look at the church today and you can see the church taking on some of these very same characteristics as a Laodicean church age. We can expect it. Not that we have to yield to it, not that we have to throw up our hands, because not every church has to be that way. But as a whole, church mentality is going to become more of a Laodicean, lukewarm, which God will spew out of his mouth. It's not Christianity at all. But we can expect that because God says it's going to take place. The world will continue to get worse as man distances himself from God. The Laodicean church age reveals that. In Revelation chapter 12 and many other places in the Bible, we can expect Satan to work more of his deceptiveness and his presenting more of his lies. And so the world is going to become more and more deceived to the reality of God. The world, humanity is the world, and humanity is going to lose their belief and their faith in a creator God, and it's going to continue to get worse and worse worldwide. We can see that today. And that's why there's a Laodicean age church. The church is still trying to stay close to the worldly mentality. And as the world continues to teach an evolution and look at what the Bible says as creation as a fairy tale, when the world's mindset is there is no God, and so the church, if the church is just trying to stay close to the world mentality, it's going to continue to get worse and worse in this lukewarm mentality, because it's just trying to stay in touch with the world's thinking. We don't need to stay in touch with the world's thinking. We need to stay committed to have the mind of Christ, as we taught in our Sunday morning Sunday school today. But we can't expect the world to continue to get worse as man distances himself from God, because the Bible says that. The Bible also says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 concerning the rapture of the church that there will first be a falling away. There will be an apostasy. Apostasy is a falling away from the things of God. And before the rapture takes place, the world is going to, and the church is going to distance themselves from God, and there will be a falling away from what God has established for His church and for humanity to live by and to acknowledge. And because of that, that's going to usher in the rapture. We can expect that. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13 that evil shall wax worse and worse. If God says that's going to happen, not that we give in to it, not that we yield to it, not that we get worse and worse, but expect the world as a whole to get worse and worse. Thirdly, we can expect to face trials and temptations. This next year, I don't know what kind of trials that you had to go through in 2013. I don't know what kind of temptations that you went through in 2013. But you can expect to go through more trials and more temptations in 2014. 1 Peter chapter 4, look there with me. 1 Peter chapter 4. I've just been highlighting some of the verses. This one I want you to look to. In 1 Peter chapter 4. What can we expect? The psalmist says, he looked into the future. Well, my expectation is from Him. What God has revealed is what we can expect. Nature to continue to evolve. The world to continue to get worse. That we can expect to face trials. We can expect to face temptations, and largely because we continue to age. Nature continues to evolve, and the world continues to get worse, which will bring on trials and temptations. At 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says this, "Beloved, think it not strange, unexpected, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." No one who is going to face a trial, we don't know what the trial might be, no one who's going to face a temptation, no matter what the temptation might be, should think it strange. Not if you're a born-again believer. Not if you understand God. Not if you understand the Bible. You had better prepare yourself not to let it come into your life and you think, well, this is unexpected. This is strange. Why would this happen to me? Why would I be tried and why would I be tempted? Listen to me. The Bible says that we will face trials and we will face temptations as long as we live on planet Earth. Don't think it's strange. Because Satan is still alive and well. And Satan will tempt you. He will. He'll work through the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. You'll have that as long as you have this physical body. And because of that, you will be tempted. And God will test. No doubt about it. We study the Word of God, we find that Satan will tempt you. God will never tempt you. He does not tempt, but God will test you. And the test of the trials that God will take you through will actually strengthen you to accomplish even greater things that God has for you to accomplish if you stay focused on Him. So far I've painted a pretty bleak future. What really encouraged today, preacher? Well, I wanted you to, because without God, it is a pretty bleak future. Those are things you can expect. But one last thing that you can expect that the psalmist knew about, and look there with me as he looked forward into his future. Verse 8. Now his thinking was, verse 7, God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. But verse 8 he says, trust in the Lord. Trust in Him at all times. You're evolving, you're facing natural evolution of your body. You're facing natural evolution of this world. You're facing winter. This winter, possibly worse than last winter. This spring, you're probably going to, if you live in a flood area, you're probably going to experience a flood. I don't understand that. People continue year after year, live in the same house, and it gets flooded every year. You know what's going to happen. Don't think something strange when your house floods if you live in a floodplain. That's nature. It's going to happen. You're going to face natural evolution. You're going to face the world getting worse and worse. You're going to face trials. You're going to face temptations. But trust in Him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. The last thing is you can expect God to be a refuge for you if you know Him. If you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have a Heavenly Father who loves you. And you can expect present tense. That's what he says right there, present tense. God is. Present tense then, present tense now, present tense as we go through next year. Present tense all the way through to the rapture. God is to be a refuge for us. We can expect God's presence through it all. No matter what it is, if you know Christ, you can expect God's presence and expect a God who can perform a miracle. He can. A miracle is God working opposite nature, opposite how He established it. You might naturally have cancer because you have the gene or whatever it might be, naturally because you were exposed to things that cause cancer. That's nature. That's natural things. If God chooses, He can perform a miracle and take the cancer away. If God chooses, He can extend your life. If God chooses, He can work miracles. Praise God, we still serve a miracle-working God. But 99.9% of the time, God is going to work through what He's already established as nature. And He says, prepare for it. But realize, as you're preparing for the natural, I'll be there with you. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6 says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He's talking to that person who has received Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior. I will never leave thee. No, in the midst of natural disasters, I'll be there. In the midst of a world that is getting worse and worse, I'll be there. In the midst of a trial, I'll be there. In the midst of a temptation, I'll be there. You can expect it. You can expect it. My expectations is from God and what He has promised and what He has revealed. My loved ones, I want my wife to know you can expect me to be there. I love you. You can expect that. I want my children, my family to know as a father, You can expect me to be there as your father. No matter what you go through, no matter what happens, you can expect to have your father. As long as God leaves me on this earth, you can expect to have my presence in your time of need. Because you're my child. You're my wife. I want this church to understand that as well. No matter what you go through, and we're going to go through some trials, you're personally going to go through some trials, and you're personally going to go through some temptations. And I want you to know this, as God has given to you a pastor, I, as your pastor, as long as God leaves me here, you can expect for me to be there to help you as your pastor. As long as you seek it. As long as you're seeking God, can I tell you, He'll be there. He goes on to say in Hebrews 13, he says, so that we may boldly say, confidence in that, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. So when natural things affect my life, I can expect God's help. Pour out your heart to Him. The psalmist said that. Pour out your heart to Him because He's there. Sometimes He's the only one that will understand really what's on your heart. How it's affected you and what kind of needs you have. He's there. You have to pour out your heart to Him and you have to diligently seek Him. And as you diligently seek Him, He's there to be found. Make note of this. Nothing bad ever happens to me because of God. When something bad happens to me, I know that God has something good in mind. God will never allow anything bad to happen to you because of Him. God doesn't cause it, but He has to allow it. He allows most natural things. But if He allows it, He has something good for you through that. Romans 8:28, another promise of God. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. I can expect that. I can expect His help through natural evolution. When we face a world that is getting worse and worse, I can find a refuge if I seek one in God. You know what His refuge is in a world that's getting worse and worse? You're sitting in it. We have a controlled environment in this place. I'm not talking about the heat and the air conditioning because there's too many complaints about that. Too many people saying it's too hot. At the same time, there's too many people saying it's too cold. But the world is getting worse and worse. We need the church to remain the same. More now than ever before. Because that's the refuge. Not a church that's just staying an arm's distance behind the world, because that's the way that the world is going, is there is no God. And that church is going to be a Laodicean age church that's going to be lukewarm. You're not going to find the refuge in a lukewarm church because you don't find the presence of God. You find the presence of God in His church, where you have His doctrine, where you're being instructed by His truths. We need the church to remain the same. And we need to assemble ourselves together even the more as you see the day approaching. Isn't that what the Bible says? Because it's a refuge. And then lastly, we face trials. We can expect His presence as we face trials and temptations. I don't know what kind of trial you're going to go through. I don't know what kind of trial I'm going to go through. I don't know what is around the corner for Satan to tempt me with. I can't expect it. It's going to come. But with that expectation, I can also expect for my help to come from God. Trust in Him at all times. My expectations. What I can expect is what God reveals. Will you be prepared for Him? If I could have every head bowed and every eye closed. The way to be prepared for them is to stay close to God. Trust in Him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is, present tense, God is a refuge for us. And that word Selah is stop and think about that. Spend some time on that. He is your help in time of need if you look to Him. Look to Him. Oh, church, look to Him. Father, we love You and thank You, Lord God, for loving us. We thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You, God, that even though as we look at the expectations that You give us, it's kind of bleak when we come to this world. But what a blessing it is to know that as we go through them, that You will be there with us. And that's what we have need of more than anything else. I pray, God, right now that You'd work in our midst, that You would speak to each one that's here as they have need to be spoken to. And as they hear from You, God, they would be willing to make whatever decisions that You would have them to make today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.